Monica! Are you serious? It is showtime, baby! Here we go! Ram, jam, slam, bam! It's awesome, baby!
360 Mindset, sharing skills and drills wrapped by stories from elite performers and your favorite sports pro. So take your first step. Speak your first word with a foundation of positive thought that comes from 360 Mindset and your host, Coach Whiteman. Lowell Whiteman. Let's get started. No excuses and no regrets.
And what a great way to start the day, because we've got the Fighting Rams of CSU on the air with you today, because our guest today is a Fighting Ram from years past. He's going to talk to us today about the draft, the NFL draft 2017. And our theme today is, as they fight Go Rams, is about that for particular thing for guys coming out of the draft today, tomorrow. They're going to be fighting for their positions, perhaps, depending on where they draft and how they're drafted into the NFL. But today I want to welcome my friend and fellow Ram, Joel Dreesen. Joel, you there?
Yeah, I can hear you just fine. How's it going?
Awesome! I love technology. It's so wonderful. It's going well, my friend. How about yourself?
I'm doing just fine. Just finished up my Friday workout for the day, and I'm driving to go get my truck and emissions test. They make you do these things for your registration from time to time.
Well, and you know, it's interesting you say that, because we're going to be talking about emissions testing in a human way, you know, because you got to, once you get through the draft, you got to do another physical and prove to everybody that you're healthy enough to join the team. And that being said, I want to remind everybody that Joel Dreesen is a NFL alum, and you can call Joel a Ram, a Jet, a Texan, or for me, the favorite is a Bronco. Because if I remember right, Joel, you were drafted in the sixth round in 2005. Is that correct?
Yeah, you're exactly right, by the New York Jets in 2005. Pick 198.
And how long did you stay there?
I was only there, let's see, I played my rookie year there in 2005. And then Herm Edwards was my head coach, and he moved on to Kansas City. And Eric Mangini came in and was the new head coach, and I didn't fit their plan, so they cut me after my second training camp with the Jets.
Now, you know, talk a little bit about the word cut, because, I mean, guys are going to be facing that depending on where they get placed in the draft. And they're, you know, despite even a great effort and great physical skills, you can get cut. So explain that a little bit to the listeners about what it really means and what your attitude was after you got cut.
Well, I could talk forever about that, but mostly there's only 53 roster spots available at the end of training camp in August or September. And the roster is at 90 guys right now. So they'll go through the off-season program and the beginning of training camp into July. And then they trim the roster down to 75. And then after the final preseason game, they trim it down to 53. And for various reasons, whether it's skill or injury, or sometimes it's political, whether you were that general manager's guy or that head coach's guy or not, a team will move on from you. And that's exactly what happened to me. Looking back in hindsight, you know, I pointed the finger at Eric Mangini for a long time. I was really bitter and pissed off. I was like, hey, this guy cut me. I was good enough. I should have made that team. But in hindsight, it was actually the best thing that ever happened to me. And it allowed me to really do some self-evaluation. It allowed me to do some introspection and really realize how much football meant to me and what I had to do to become a pro and be the best NFL player I could be. So he really did me a favor. It doesn't mean I'm still not bitter, but it worked out how it was supposed to work out. And then in 2007, I signed with the Houston Texans, and I didn't miss a game for the next 5 years.
Well, and you know, what you just said about your experience is the theme we have for today, and that's controlling your emotions and staying in the now. So it sounds like for you, through the experience, you learned about not taking it personal and really reflecting on what you needed to do to move forward.
Well, I don't exactly remember how the quote goes, but when you blame everybody else for your issues, you're going to suffer a lot. But when you take responsibility for everything that happens to you in your life, you will find tremendous peace. And so I was like, look, this is all on me. If I'm going to make my NFL work, our NFL career work, it's only going to be as a result of my efforts, my thought processes, my work ethic. It's only going to be a reflection of how I control myself. And I was going to control what I could control, and my own efforts were the only thing that was responsible for my own success.
So, Joel, in those moments, and you look back on it, what was the best piece of advice you got as a rookie?
Man, honestly, there's nothing that you can say to a rookie to prepare them for what they're about to go through. To be honest with you, these guys are entering just an absolute dogfight of a world. These guys have never, ever played 16 games. They've never had the demands of pro football, of practice, where you work 10, 12 hours a day in meetings, in practice, in rehab, lifting weights. It is truly a six-month grind from July through whenever your season ends, whether it's at the end of December or into the playoffs in January, or if you're lucky enough to the Super Bowl in February. There's no, regardless of where these guys just get chose yesterday or this weekend, there's no crystal ball. Nobody knows how they're going to hold up. Nobody knows how they're going to handle the fame and the fortune. Nobody knows how they're going to handle the injuries that you play with constantly. Nobody knows how they're going to handle the media pressure, the fan pressure. And most importantly, nobody truly, you can make your best guess as to how they're going to perform on the field. But until those lights are bright and it's game time, you just don't know. So there's nothing I can say to these rookies that could prepare them. It's just a matter of going out and doing it and being consistent day in, day out with your approach, with your efforts, being the same guy every single day. That's the one thing that I would say to them is, hey, you might have a great game on Sunday, but that don't mean shit. That don't mean anything. You have to get back up and go do it all over again starting on Monday the very next day. You got to get up, go take care of your injuries, go work out, go start your preparation for the next week. That game is gone. Enjoy it for that evening, but you have to start it all over again, and the expectation is the exact same.
Well, you're doing a great job of helping me with the theme for today, and that's controlling your emotions and staying in the now. Like you said, those were wise words to be said to a rookie in any profession, is hunker down, do the job in that moment, and then when you come out of it, make sure you reflect on, all right, what do I got to do tomorrow? Because like you said, it's a dogfight for these young men day in and day out. Now, when does that dogfight start? Now, they're going to come into rookie camp, which is more of learning and kind of getting used to the systems, and then the physical part of that really amps up when?
Practice, OTAs. I know they're not allowed to wear pads. They're just running around in helmets, but the expectation is to practice as fast as you can and not hurt each other. These rookies, they have to figure out how to practice at an NFL level without pads. Because look, a lot of head coaches subscribe to the thinking that he doesn't want to beat them up during the course of the week. He doesn't want to risk any kind of injury. So a lot of head coaches will practice in no pads all week to prevent that. But you still have to practice fast. You still have to use your technique. You still have to run routes full speed. You still have to catch the ball. So the physical demands are going to begin right away, when they begin OTAs with the veterans. I know these rookie minicamps, they don't go full speed right away because, look, these guys have been training specifically for combine, pro day, performance-specific activities. Now all of a sudden they're thrust into a competitive football environment, and it's not the best to prevent injury. So these rookie minicamps will probably be more tapered to getting these guys in shape, helping them learn a brand new playbook, which is going to be like memorizing a dictionary, yeah, and really just getting into football shape before they go full speed against each other.
Now, Joel, when you're in that scenario of the practices, whether it's the OTA or then eventually full blown practices in preseason with pads on, what did you say to yourself to stay focused on executing your skill and showing people what you could do without being distracted by those thoughts of, oh my God, I'm here with these pros. Some of these guys are my idols. You know, I got to stay focused on what I got to do for me. What were some of the things you did for yourself to just stay in that moment, stay in that controlled moment?
Yeah, to be honest with you, I was never ever starstruck by guys in the locker room. I could care less about that. I didn't care that, you know, Curtis Martin was my running back. I didn't care that John Abraham was a defensive end, or Jonathan Vilma was defensive rookie of the year. That stuff never ever mattered to me. It meant beans to me, honestly.
So move that off the shelf. You're saying move that off the shelf, guys. Don't get enamored with the talent. Just do your job.
Yeah, exactly. Look, you're in that locker room for a reason. Your talent is comparable to those guys in that room. Now it's time to put it all together. How fast can you learn how to be a pro? How fast can you learn the expectations of what it takes to practice and compete with these guys? Because to be honest with you, even the last man on that roster before you're drafted, he's a better pro than you right now. And you have to learn how to, you got to go take his job from him. That was my mindset. It's like, look, there's some guys on this roster that don't belong. I got to go prove to them, prove to this organization that I belong instead of them. It was like I knew I was going to make mistakes. It's just I had to show that I was going to play with the right effort. Everything I did was full speed. I didn't care if it was walkthrough. I didn't care what the tempo was. I had to go fast to show them how important football was to me. I tried to be the first one in the building. I first caught the attention of Herm Edwards because in the dog days of training camp in August, I was right in the weight room with him at 5:30 every morning. It was me, Herm Edwards, and Jonathan Vilma. And Herm Edwards would give me this look like, wow, that's pretty impressive for a rookie that he's coming to get his workout in before practice. I think that he gained a little respect for me and started to pay attention because of that. And
Do you feel lucky that it was Herm Edwards that was the one observing it? Because you know as well as I do, there are some guys that would have seen you in the locker room at 5:30 and they could have cared less. But Herm Edwards is a unique individual and an NFL teammate. What are some of the things about Herm other than him noticing you and helping you? What were some of the things that were unique about that relationship?
Honestly, I wish I could go do it over because I didn't pay a whole lot of attention. I should have. I was, to be honest with you, as a rookie, you literally are swimming. You don't know what the hell you're doing. But Herm was very observant. Herm worked hard. Herm appreciated guys who loved football. And I honestly wish I would have been better for him, but I didn't know how to be yet. But he was a good coach. He was an excellent motivator, a great communicator. And like I said, he appreciated guys who loved football.
See, I want to make sure our audience listens. And this is why the show 360 Mindset is for the performance elite. The people that watch them and coach them and support them, I want them listening to the show because what Joel has just said is really a key thing for elite performers to understand. Find those people. Discover who those people are that really are going to pay attention and care about what you're doing. And as Joel just said, he, as a rookie, wasn't quite aware of that. So rookies, listening, Fred Zerbalis, I'm hoping you're listening, you know, out there. Kevin Davis, you're out there listening. I know you're already preset for being able to respond in the way Joel is talking, but I can also echo this from Crockett Gilmore or Weston Richburg. They align themselves with people. They recognized what's going to work for me is hanging with people who really care about the game of football and me in that game. Now, if I paraphrase you inaccurately, Joel, let me know, but that's what I heard you say.
Yeah, that sounds accurate. I mean, sometimes Rod Smith, great wide receiver, Broncos Ring of Famer, he came and spoke to our team one day, and he's like, look, man, you got to figure out what football means to you. You cannot do it for the fame or the money. You have to do it because you love it. And I was always that guy. I mean, the paychecks were nice, but I could care less about the attention I got from other people. I truly loved playing the game of football.
So what are some of the other ways you discovered? They talked about interacting, getting out there at 5:30 in the morning, doing your workouts, getting recognized. What are some other things that you could point to that you discovered that worked for you?
Study your ass off. the most important thing is to be able to play fast as you can. If you're out there thinking because you don't know your assignment, you don't know where to line up, you don't know what technique to use, you're going to play slow and you're going to be exposed immediately. So I would say the most important thing to me was I never picked up a video game controller. I saw rookies who would play video games till 1 or 2 in the morning instead of studying their playbook, not getting enough sleep at night, and then they'd go out to practice and not know what they were doing. So I made it a rule for myself. I was not going to touch a video game, and I stayed up till midnight making flashcards, making sure I knew exactly what I was supposed to do. So I could line up as soon as that huddle broke and play fast, recognize the coverage, use the right technique, and make the play. Because it's football in the NFL. It's hard enough as it is physically. And if you're out there thinking, you cannot play fast. So it's very important to know what you're doing.
Well, with that thought, Joel, I'm going to remind everybody we're talking with Joel Dreesen, alumni of the NFL, a veteran experience with the New York Jets, the Texans, the Broncos, drafted sixth round in 2005, and has left his mark on Colorado, both as a college ball player, homage to CSU Rams, which I've worked with, and Joel and I have had many conversations about that in the past. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. But before we do that, let's talk a little bit about nutrition. Nikki Burnett's going to share a little bit with us about those energy snacks. Again, you want to be carrying around, especially those rookies when you get into the OTAs, what you need to do to make sure you keep your energy level up and functional.
Hi, Lowell, and good morning, everyone. This is Nikki Burnett with Taste Life Nutrition, and what a great question you have regarding what kind of foods we want to keep in our backpack for quick support. I know if I'm traveling, if I'm in the mountains backpacking, I always want to have some healthy, nutrient-dense foods that I can reach for in a pinch. So the things that I look for first would be jerky. Any kind of jerky is great because it's high in protein, but we want to make sure it's healthy. And what I mean by that is if we're looking for beef jerky, we want it to be 100% grass-fed. If we're looking for turkey jerky, we want it to be 100% pasture-raised. Bison jerky is a great option because legally it has to be 100% grass-fed. And then there's salmon jerky. As long as it's wild-caught, is great because it's high in protein and high in omega-3 fatty acids. Another thing that I'll do is have raw nuts and seeds on hand. They're high in fat, high in fiber, so they can give a good energy boost as well as keep you satiated. A lot of times I'll also add dried fruit. As long as there's no added sugar, dried food is a great option to add to your trail mix. Lastly would be coconut flakes. I like coconut flakes because they're lightweight, but they're really high in good, healthy fats. So you can take those coconut flakes. You could also add those to your trail mix, and that would be a really great option. So thank you so much, and I look forward to talking to all of you again soon.
All right. As we bridge into the next segment with Joel Dreesen coming out of the mindset segment, we're going to go into the skills segment. But before that, I'm going to share a few words with you from one of our NFL players that are in the league. His name is DeAndre Elliott. He is a cornerback with the Seattle Seahawks. And he says in his answer to this question that I asked him, I said, what is a key behavior to maintain as an NFL rookie? And he says this, a key behavior for a rookie is all about having the right attitude. You want to have the right attitude going into new organizations with new coaches and players. You also want to be able to be catchable and ready to learn, rather it be from players or coaches, because the things they do in the league won't be similar to the things they were doing in college. As well as time management, he says, you got to manage your time. You will be surprised how much free time you will have in the league. As Joel said earlier, don't get on that joystick of the video game. Study your ass off. And DeAndre emphasized that as well. And it gives you time to take care of your body, DeAndre says, watching film and etc., studying. Find that balance early that he recommends. And lastly, he says, don't leave out, I'll give you the exact quote. Last but not least, don't go broke trying to live out your tax bracket. Save, save, save. And as the song says, breathe. All right, we're coming back with Joel Dreesen. Joel Dreesen, alumnus of the NFL, drafted sixth in 2005. CSU Ram alum as well. You can call him a Jet. You can call him a Texan, literally, as well as a Bronco. Joel spends time between both Denver and Texas. Wonderful family. My best to the fam, Joel. And my questions now for you are in the skill area. We're going to talk a little bit skill. And as we talk about that, and I ask you this question, I want you to think about what's happening in the NFL draft as of last night, and reflect on some of the thoughts that you have, Joel, about those players going in the NFL. I see a trend that there's a lot of defensive emphasis right now. In the first round, there was a defensive end. Myles Garrett was drafted by the Browns. And I know people look at that like, oh, the Browns need a, you know, defensive guy. But I want you to tell me a little bit about the attitude of where the teams are at in their thinking about positioning. Because I think what's happening is there's going to be a lot of defensive backs needed for the aerial attack by some of the teams that are preparing to throw the pill quite a bit, especially when people like the Titans hire this, you know, hire. They haven't hired him yet. He hasn't made the team. A wide receiver to go underneath the throws of their quarterback, as well as out there with McCaffrey being drafted by Carolina, going underneath the throws of, what's that big guy's name again, Joel?
Yeah, Cam Newton. He's,
oh, that's the guy.
Player.
Yeah. So as Joel gives me his thoughts on that, I'm going to take off my headset and change my hat to the Broncos, because we're going from rookie to more of the, or from draftee to rookie and actually being a pro.
Like I touched on earlier, it's all about, for me, rookies, they had to have the perfect balance of humility and confidence. Confidence in the sense that they need to come in and display the work ethic, relentless work ethic, that they want to be a pro. They want to help the team win. They're going to study. They're going to develop good practice habits. That's what rookie confidence is to me. But there's also got to be humility, because I don't care if you played for Alabama or Western Michigan or University of Northern Colorado. It don't matter what the hell you did in college, because none of those guys are there. It's all about what you are going to do as moving forward. So there's a fine balance between those two aspects.
Yeah, in the moment, right? Right in that moment, in the now, no matter how they may predict what Chris McCaffrey will do, hasn't happened yet. We're not in the moment. He still's got to put the work out. The same thing with the quarterback, Mitch Trubisky, that the Bears drafted. I mean, all the ins and outs. I mean, I hear people talking about, oh, you know, Cutler this and Cutler that, and he's going there, and he may not stay there. We're not sure what's going to happen. It doesn't matter. He hasn't proven or disproven anything. Trubisky, hasn't proven anything yet, to Joel's point. So as these rookies move forward into the camp, and they're starting to hunker down and get their pattern of behavior and really start thinking, as DeAndre said, you know, get to good time management. You got time on your hands. Use it effectively, as you emphasized. You know, study your ass off and work really hard. What are some of the things that you learned from, you mentioned Rod Smith. And Rod, I've spoken to Rod a few times, and he said his biggest success for himself was not only loving the game of football, but letting everybody know he'll play anything they want him to play. I'll play anywhere. Special teams, receiver, D-back, I don't care. I just love the game of football. How do you get that message to people, Joel? What does a rookie have to say or do, or maybe both, to get that message into the minds of the coaches that are going to pick them and put them on the 53?
To me, it's a display of how hungry you are. And a lot of times when guys are fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh round draft choices, or in Rod's case, undrafted free agent,
yeah,
you got to be willing to eat a mile of shit with a spoon to get better at football. And these guys, I was the same way. You have to be a dog on special teams. If you're going to get it, look, so you make a 53-man roster, well, only 45 guys get a uniform on game day. So really, if you're not getting a uniform, your job is not truly secure, because that organization is not relying on you on Sunday. So if you're not a starter, you have got to be a dog on special teams. You've got to learn how to cover kicks. You've got to learn how to block on kickoff return and punt return. That's all there is to it, because that is going to be your role. Because look, starters don't play on special teams. Those guys are playing 60, 70, 80 plays a game on offense or defense. The special teams is reserved for those backup players. And you got to be good at that stuff. You have got to. That was a huge adjustment for me. Was I had never done a whole lot of that in college. I was a starter, an offensive starter in college from the moment I stepped on the field. So I didn't play a whole lot of special teams. So I had to learn right away how to play special teams and be willing to do anything and everything.
Now, for you, that may not have been a huge attitude adjustment for you to get shifted from college. You're no longer the top guy. Now you're a rookie, and you're being challenged by those guys who don't want you to take their job from them. So your mental adjustment may not have been as tough as it, because I know you well enough to be able to say that. But what would you recommend to a rookie about, hey, how do I get myself in that place? How do I get myself in a place that I'm going to be dog day, long day, you know, attitude adjusted to take somebody's job away from them? That's not who I am.
The best advice I ever got when it came to that was Mark Bruner. He played tight end in the NFL for 13 years. And he told me, look, Joel, nobody cares about your career more than you do. There might be guys in this locker room right now who help you study, who help you on the practice field. But the only person who cares about your career as much as you do is you. You're the only one responsible for it. So if that meant going full speed in a walkthrough, if that meant, I made some enemies of my teammates because I was there early and stayed late and they thought I was a suck up or a goody two shoes, whatever. I was willing to do it because look, I cared. I wanted my career to go. I was hungry for it to go. And I was willing to do anything it took.
Well, here's a phrase I use, Joel, with my guys. And you and I have had moments where we've shared thoughts to help yourself and others. And this is the thought. I said, there's got to be a swagger, as you're pointing out. There's a swagger. We're identifying a swagger. How do I get to that swagger? Well, here's the mantra, your phrase that you say in your head over and over again. It's all about, and the fill in the blank is me. It's all about me. Now, I had a player ask me one time, he says, but I don't want to be selfish. I don't want to be an asshole. I don't want to be the person who gets my teammates angry at me because I want to be a leader. I said, fine, you could be a leader. It's self-aware. It's not selfish. You're self-aware with that swagger. But every day from a positive perspective, you got to walk out the door saying, it's all about me. Because as you said, Joel, nobody cares more about my career than me. So that's my first piece of advice in skill training for any athlete or any elite performer is get that mindset, that swagger that says when you break the sheets and put your feet on the floor before you take that first step, it's all about me. And you put yourself in and around people that are going to believe that with you and they know you're self-aware and you're taking it to the next level. So Joel, with that particular thought in mind, when you were faced with rookie kind of behavior in the locker room, like specialty haircuts and things done to your locker, things like that, how do you handle those distractions when you want to maintain that swagger?
I just put my hands up. I was like, who cares? Who cares? This is part of it. Honestly, I've seen guys where rookies be like, I'm not carrying shoulder pads. You ain't cutting my hair. And they raise a big fuss and veterans, they don't embrace that. They're like, look, man, this is just part of it. It's all fun and games. So, look, man, if you're a rookie and they're going to shave your head at the end of training camp, just let them do it. Do it with a smile. Your damn hair is going to grow back. If you've got to stand up during a team dinner and sing your school fight song and let everybody know what your signing bonus was, just do it. Yeah. Just do it with humility. Try to make your teammates laugh. Don't make them be like, who the hell does this guy think he is? Make them laugh. Have a positive attitude. Just embrace that stuff. It's only going to happen once.
Do you think that's also, whether they identify it or not, that behavior, those antics are a way to get them kind of ready for what they're going to face along the fence as they come out of the locker room with autograph seekers and the media in general and those kind of things? Because you got to have kind of a thick skin, don't you?
Oh, yeah, for sure. If there is one thing that the NFL did for me that I'm so grateful for, is it taught me how to be able to take criticism from coaches, from general managers, from other players, from the media, from fans, from my family. It's so important to be accepting of that feedback. If you want to grow as a person, as a player, listen to the stuff that these people are telling you. And you're right, have thick skin. And I mean, there's bad advice, there's good advice, and sometimes that's difficult to sift through. But It did develop some toughness for me because I see a lot of people now that I'm done with the NFL and these other jobs I've been exploring that they can't handle criticism. They can't handle any kind of suggestion. Like if someone comes up to me and says, hey, Joel, you can be a better broadcaster by doing this. I'm going to listen to them. I'm not going to get all pissy because they're giving me feedback. Look, I'm going to be able to take that criticism and make myself better. So it's very important to be able to have thick skin and take feedback, just like you said.
Well, let's make sure that we don't forget about where Joel is at now. A wonderful dad, appreciator of the game of football and athletic experience. And he captures that for listeners on Altitude 950 AM. Is that correct, Joel?
And are we I fill in from time to time on some of the various local sports talk stations around here in Denver. Do a little TV with Altitude and Vic Lombardi.
Yeah.
I've been actually doing some color commentary with Root Sports in the fall on a couple college games. So I've been enjoying that. And then do a little coaching, a little public speaking from time to time, as well as a lot of dad time. So
yeah.
Life is good for me right
can
now.
Can we also find you on 104.3 The Fan as well?
Yep. I'm on there from time to time also. So, usually when I'm about to fill in for a segment or a day or a show, I'll put it out there on Twitter. So follow me on Twitter at joelbreeson.com and, listen to me there.
And let's make sure everybody knows that Dreesen is two E's and two, well, actually three E's, but Dreesen, Joel Dreesen, at Joel Dreesen, on Twitter. My listeners are going to keep in touch with you because I keep in touch with you. You're an asset for me to be able to tap into and get that player perspective, especially with the passion you have for the game. And as I say that, I'm looking at what the NFL draft did yesterday, and I want your comments before you leave us about the tight ends. It was a pretty good crop of tight ends that got drafted yesterday. It's O.J. Howard, who's going to Tampa Bay. He's from Alabama. And then we've got the kid from Mississippi, Evan Engram, who is going to the New York Giants. And then I'm going to just mess this name up. A tight end from Miami, I think it's David Nwoku, that's going to Cleveland. So what do you think about those three young men and their rookie seasons in the NFL? Because I think those three teams are going to use the tight end.
Yeah, I'm very excited for them. I wish I would have been a first-round draft pick and would have been afforded the level of opportunity that those guys are about to be given. But they earned it. They deserve it. They're fine college players. And these guys are so fast and so big. It's really, really impressive, but they're going to have to learn how to be physical. That's for sure. I mean, every tight end loves looking pretty, running routes, catching passes, but let me see you do the dirty work. Let me see you put your hand in the ground and learn how to block the Von Millers and the DeMarcus Wares of the world, because that is certainly not easy. So they're going to have to learn how to do that real quick. But man, the tight end position, these guys are just so big and athletic and strong and fast these days. Really, really an impressive group this year.
Well, I'm extremely impressed with what I'm going to see. I think what we're going to see with Evan Engram, he still has to be in the moment, you know, and stay in the now and make it happen with the Giants, because a friend of both you and mine is Weston Richburg, the center for the Giants is there and can be a great leader for Evan. But Evan impresses me because his ability to do the things you need to do without catching the ball, like block and run a good route to distract defensive undercover to open it up for the run game. And I think that he's going to be doing some great things for the Giants. Where do you think overall talent-wise, Joel, the draft has provided the NFL? Is it a good draft? Is it got resplendent with talent, or is it talented in just certain pockets of positions?
I really don't know. To be honest with you, I don't get caught up in the draft at all, because it don't matter. It don't matter. You could be drafted in the first round, and maybe that guy doesn't pan out because he couldn't handle the money. He couldn't handle the attention. He couldn't handle the pressure of game day. He couldn't handle the demands of the playbook, of being a pro every single day. And then you got guys who are undrafted, get a $2,000 signing bonus, like Chris Harris Jr. of the Denver Broncos. And he turns himself into a Pro Bowler every year, a Super Bowl champion, a team captain, a leader of the best defense in the NFL right now. So I don't get caught up in the draft a whole lot, because to be honest with you, there's no crystal ball for how these guys' careers are going to turn out, because there's just so many factors that they're going to have to deal with.
Now, I am totally agreeing with Joel on that, but as everybody knows, my listeners know, and Joel in particular knows, I work behind the scenes making sure that the foundation of your connection between mind and body is always at its optimal to give you the ability to perform at your optimized levels. And now what that means in simple terms is, as Joel said, be a dog. Get out there and get the job done and have your own personal swagger. It's that all about me mindset that helps you survive in the game that is one of the, if not the toughest, physically demanding games on the planet, which could be why everybody likes it so much, both to play it and to watch it. Now, that being said, Joel, you have gone through your share of injuries and had to make decisions about that. So when rookies get into the game and they start feeling those different set of aches and pains that are not the same as they felt in college, what's some advice you would give them on handling that from a both an emotional and physical sense?
Oh, man, there's a difference between being injured and being hurt.
Yep.
Injured, you can't play. Hurt is what you're going to be all the time in the NFL. That's just how it goes. But there's a protocol that the organization expects you to follow. That if you are dealing with any kind of injury, look, you got to get in there early. You have to go through treatment or they're going to fine you. And you have to do everything you can to take care of that injury, whether it's staying at the facility till 6-7 o'clock at night, being in the cold tub, doing all the extra things that the training staff asked of you. And to me, the thing that I noticed about guys who handled injury best is let the head athletic trainer decide if you should miss practice or not. The one thing I hated is when a guy would come in, oh, I'm hurt. Yeah, I can't practice today. Don't ever take yourself out of practice. Let the head trainer make that decision for you. I hated that crap, man. The trainer, if you're injured enough, the trainer is going to hold you out. He's going to recognize that. But you got to be honest about how bad it hurts, what you're dealing with, what the swelling is, and all that sort of thing. So, but basically, you don't make that decision. Okay, the trainer makes that decision. That's the level of toughness that's expected.
I'm glad you said that because I, as you know, Joel, I measure human desire. So the desire to want to play, the desire to want to fight through being hurt and still playing, and the desire to go out and communicate with people. So I evaluate 16 different factors of desire, and here's the top five for a professional athlete. Now this is data based on information I've gathered from athletes like Joel, who are either currently in the league or have been in the league in football. It's a sense of family. So that's that groundedness, that foundation, that desire to be physically active. So here's where when you have a desire to be physically active and you can't be, you're hurt, you're injured, that's a motivator to go figure it out. Because you want to be physically active. You don't feel good if you're not constantly moving, constantly getting things done. The third one is the desire for power and being in control, and being in positions where it's like the receiver saying, give me the ball, or the quarterback says, give me the ball. I want the ball to throw to make a difference in the game. That's an example of power for an NFL football player. The other one, the fourth one, is desire to have social contact, to know people at a more than superficial level. That's where camaraderie comes in. That's where teamwork comes in as far as words to describe the thing I measure that's defined as social contact. And lastly, it's a high sense of vengeance. And I know where Joel's number is on this one. This is when what you believe in gets damaged or challenged, you're the one that steps up first. I'm going to take care of you. You say something to my teammate, I'm coming after you. You do something to my team to change the course of our actions, I'm going to be the one to make this. I've got a high sense of vengeance to get that done. So those are the five: family, physical activity, power, social contact, and vengeance. Now, Joel, I'm going to ask you, because I'm just selfish, can you stay with us a little longer? Do you have to go?
No, I actually have to run. My daughter's in dance class, and she's
awesome.
Been having a little performance anxiety. She gets really nervous when she goes in the dance class, so Dad's going to come and try to help her work through those things.
All right. Breathing is a good thing, and as we say goodbye to Joel Dreesen, we're going to say goodbye with the CSU Rams singing him out from the locker room at Wyoming when they beat Wyoming 52-whatever and just hammered on Joel Dreesen. Thank you so much for being part of 360 Mindset. Check out Joel at Joel Dreesen on Twitter. And always look at us on KUHSDenver.com. Thank you, Joel, as we go into the break. Have fun with your daughter.
Thank you for having me on. Appreciate it.
PTDPT for ESPs.
All right, that's Joel Dreesen. Thank you so much. Joel, we are going to take a brief break and send you some messages about a few things. And as we do that, I'm going to turn down some dials so that we turn that off. And we're going to talk a little bit about, and this is where I need Henry. I've got this card right here. We're going to go, it's You're Awesome. This is the Center for Awesomeness. This is my friend Nick. So take a look at thecenterforawesomeness.com. This is a product that I love because it's getting people to get their faces out of the screen and take a look at themselves and other people. Have a conversation and communicate face-to-face and not use the deposable thumb method of texting. And he's got this wonderful card. And as I turn it around, Henry, I'll do it slow. We've got all these wonderful keywords. It's like he put Wordle on a card, but thecenterforawesomeness.com. Talk to Nick. Check it out. Wonderful stuff to give you the insights about being awesome and enjoying being awesome. All right, so there's that. There that is. And as I say that, to be awesome, you got to get trained. You got to have some place to go to learn how to be, in my case, a business person, an entrepreneur. So here's the other piece I'm going to hold up. It's The Common. And The Common is thecommons.co. It's a not-for-profit downtown on Champa, and that's their logo right there. You can look them up, and when you do, talk to Jackie. Jackie Dietrich is one of the directors down there, and the energy behind that force. Had a wonderful time having some conversation and some learning with a bunch of knuckleheads down at the Common yesterday when we were in a session called Co-Starters. And Co-Starters is a great program to help entrepreneurs be guided through the myriad, the labyrinth of deciding how to be a productive business person and success story as an entrepreneur. So The Common, downtown Denver, helping promote Denver entrepreneurs to be their best. All right, so there we go. We just finished a great set with Joel Dreesen, and we finished our mindset set, which we open up with, got into the skills piece, and with that, we're going to go into our mental conditioning spot and talk a little bit about process. Because that's our big deal, you know, talk about process, not the end result. Talk about process from the standpoint of what kind of tools can I use to help me, you know, kind of get through this and prepare. As Joel said, you know, you gotta take care of yourself. You're the only one that cares the most about what you're going to do and how you're going to do it. So, well, how do I do that? How do I stay on that path? Well, one of the things is from 360 Mindset is the Time to Focus app. Go on to iTunes and look up Time to Focus. Now, it's not a number two. It's Time, T-O, Focus. Time to Focus app is a way for you to get your brain charged up and ready to go. It's free, by the way, free. So go take a look at that, because that's a method for you to condition your mind, mental conditioning. It's amazing how those words work, isn't it? Mental conditioning. So Time to Focus is a way to do that. And this may sound like a review of what Joel said to us, but be that as it may, in the mental conditioning portion, as it relates to being a rookie at anything, you're new at a new business, you're new at a luncheon, you've never met the people before. Rely on that phrase that you run through your head. It's all about me. Do I look really good? Do I feel really good? Did you create a routine for yourself when you start every day with that thought of your mantra, that it's all about you, and in a positive way? That's the first thing I want you to try to think about when you're looking at mentally conditioning yourself to go into a new place, go into a new event, a new business venture, or a new job. And when you get there, this is where the awesomeness card I had up here, You're Awesome, is pushing us to look at people face to face and ask questions of them. Ask them questions. So why are you here? What do you do? Gosh, you look really good today. Where'd you get that? And I, I don't ask this often enough, but I can tell you this, that men and women in business have a conflict because men don't know what to say to them in a performance setting when they meet them for the first time. And they tend to be a little bit too standoffish, almost to the point where it seems and looks like arrogance. So if men can learn how to ask questions of not just anybody, but gender differences in particular about with women, they're going to have a much better time defining how do genders fit on my team? How do my teammates fit together? So asking questions is a key part of understanding the depth and breadth of performance capabilities. And also it helps you to understand who these people are at a deeper level. So that when you get to the plan of how to succeed, that in that planning process, you're not setting goals that are not understanding of the participants in your team. As Joel said, Herm Edwards was a big influence for him. Because Herm first saw what Joel was doing, what actions Joel was taking to make himself better. And that caused Herm to ask questions. Too often, the seasoned professionals are the ones that have learned by omission that they should be asking questions. And regretfully, a lot of the youngsters, rookies in this case with the NFL, or you yourself, you're a rookie at a new place or a new job, you're not asking questions enough in a defined way that relates to your goals. So one of the other things I want to mention to you is set weekly goals. So let me review that for a minute. Mental conditioning. Give yourself tools that helps you charge your brain up and get it ready to go and ready to think at whatever level of sophistication or speed it needs to. I recommend a time to focus as a way. Other simple ways to do that, I tell my athletes, play a game of chess in the locker room. Play solitaire. Anything that's going to get you moving and thinking at the same time. With time to focus, you're touching a screen and your brain's working. And you're doing it within a specified time frame. Those are three components that make that work to get your brain started up. So, first thing is, find things that are going to help you get your brain focused. The other thing is, get a routine. State time management. DeAndre Elliott, when his comments to us, by the way, DeAndre would have been with us today, but he had his wisdom teeth taken out. So he, you know, hard to talk. to be on the air. So he was gracious enough to send us a great comment and thoughts about being a rookie. But he said, get it, you know, manage your time. Be in a routine and think about that routine as you ask people questions in particular about how can you help me? I need to know more about this. Talking to a trainer, as Joel said, you got to play with hurt. So ask questions about the trainers. Hey, what can you do for me? How can you get me back on the field? What should I do better? We talked, Nikki Burnett, our nutritionist, gave us some insights again on the energy foods. You might want to ask questions of trainers about energy foods, foods to help build muscle, build the weight that you might need. I know for me, one of the issues with some of our players, some of my players and the teams I've worked with is during these heavy, intense training times, they lose weight really fast. And some guys, they just have body habits, routines that they're not eating a lot, and they're not eating in a timely fashion. So ask questions, find out and discover new things, and get to know your teammates, those around you, that group that's going to help you be your best and help you set that mental condition, that environment around you that supports your mental condition in a way that it's in alignment with your goals. My specific request for you in the mental conditioning part is create weekly goals. Every week, set weekly goals. Now, understand something here. Weekly goals may move to the next week, or they may get completed in a given week. Or it might be a goal that's every single week, week after week. Those are important considerations to have, not only recorded, but also document how you, strategies, methods you use to succeed, to chunk those successes up in accomplishing those goals. You know, and I use the acronym SMART, S-M-A-R-T, SMART goals. That means specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and timely. Now, I can get into more detail about that, but I would encourage you to go to my website and sign up for a consultation with me at 360mindset.com. Also, by the way, I want to remind you, Joel Dreesen, at Joel Dreesen for Twitter. Send him your thoughts and your comments. But at the same time, remember, Today's show and every Friday's show on KUHSDenver.com for 360 Mindset can be found on Facebook at 360 Mindset on Facebook. And you can look at Coach LKW for our Twitter feed. I'd love to get more dialogue and comments from people on our Twitter account. Ask us questions. All right, we're going to go into another little segue break here in just a second, and that'll lead us into our last segment of the day on performance and performance results. We're going to talk a little bit more about the NFL, and as I go to that place, I'm going to talk a little bit about what's going on out there in the international world. Hello, everybody out there in our international world. We got the United Kingdom. We've got some flow here. Actually, in specific, not in just all of the United Kingdom, but Waterford specifically in the United Kingdom. We also, Turkey's still with us. We have, let's see, a couple places in Turkey, actually. Shelby's still with us. Hamburg, Germany's been added. Got some Brampton, Canada. Don't know about where Brampton is, but love Canada, especially this time of year. It's a green place to be. Wonderful place to be. Actually, you know, it's interesting in Colorado, speaking of weather, the mountains, I heard that Loveland Pass and the Eisenhower Tower was closed down, and the Loveland Pass, A Basin and Loveland ski areas got almost 2 feet of snow. And yet it's like 50 degrees down here and sunny in wonderful Front Range in North Glen, Colorado, with KUHSDenver.com. So I want to make sure I also mention when you're a rookie and you have those hurts, those aches and pains, if you can make it back to Colorado, and in particular Broomfield, Colorado, check out Bodie Body Studio. Bodie Body Studio is a wonderful massage therapy location in Broomfield. Look them up on the internet. Bodie is spelled B-O-D-H-I. Bodie Body Studio. All right, performance results. What is it that you want to get accomplished? What results do you want to have? Well, we're talking about the NFL today because the NFL draft opened up yesterday. Had some great accomplishments. I'm going to just move my headset just a little bit, take off my Denver Broncos hat because I don't want to sound or seem like I'm biased towards the Denver Broncos, even though I might be, because there are some notable things that happened in the NFL draft yesterday that I want to bring to your attention. One of those is related to a coach that I'm familiar with, Cliff Kingsbury, down at Texas Tech. One of his players was drafted yesterday in the first round at number 10. He was chosen by the Kansas City Chiefs. That was Patrick Mahomes. I don't know if you've watched Texas Tech football at all, you know, and their signal of the revolver down there with Texas Tech. I tell you what, it's the most entertaining college football game I've ever gone to. There is so much activity down there. It's awesome. You know, horses running up and down the field and costuming. And I mean, the sidelines are sometimes more fun than actually watching the game. Cliff, I didn't mean that really. Your football team is awesome. Cliff Kingsbury and the Texas Tech Rebels down there. And we're talking about Patrick Mahomes, a quarterback. Now, Patrick was known, this young man, I mean, talk about making a play happen with your feet and creating something. The longer the ball was in his hands after a snap, the greater chance that something positive was going to happen for the Texas Tech football team. If you got the ball out of his hands, it was less of a chance. He made some amazing runs and passes that just were, I just was always amazed by what he did. So I'm hoping the Kansas City Chiefs really take their time to wrap their arms around Patrick and bring him into their fold and acclimate him into the plan. As Joel said, you have to be, Joel Dreesen said, you have to be kind of get after it, dog. You know, work hard. And it's all about you. It's all about you. And I know from meeting Patrick Mahomes a few times when he was a freshman and sophomore at Texas Tech, this young man has the attitude. He has the desire, the love of the game to make it happen for himself. And I'm interested. I put a call out to Cliff Kingsbury this morning to ask Cliff, what did he say to Patrick about the NFL? Because for those of you who don't know, Cliff Kingsbury, he himself has NFL experience as a quarterback. He was Texas Tech. Texan born and raised, Texas Tech graduate, He's had a great career as a football player in college and in the pros. And now he's a head coach at Texas Tech University. And I'm just curious, what did Cliff happen to say to Patrick about not so much the draft? Because I think it went without saying that it was the time was right for quarterbacks of his skill level to get a shot at the NFL at a fairly high level. But more importantly, getting through the draft, earning your spot on the 53 guys that get to suit up. Well, sorry, the 53 guys that get to be on the roster and the 40-plus that suit up every game. Others are not, you know, they're not suited up. They're wearing warm-up jackets or something. I'm not exactly sure what the dress code is on those who don't suit up for game day. But that's one player of note that I wanted to mention in comparison to our routine here at 360 Mindset. And looking at the mindset and the skill level, it goes without saying that Patrick Mahomes has the skills to be a quarterback. But as you all know, with me, it's not just the physical skills. It's the connection, the balance between mind and body. And I know in the past, I've talked to a lot of quarterback coaches, quarterbacks themselves, about what would they have liked to have done differently, or had a chance to redo. And many of them would say, make a different decision. Have myself more under control emotionally. And that goes to our theme for today, you know, controlling your emotions and staying in the now. So here's something for you out there as coaches or players, and you can do this by yourself. Take away a sense. You got five senses, right? Do I need to go through all five? No, I don't think so. I hope not. But you got five senses. Take one away to force the other four senses to have to work harder, to get better. So, for example, with quarterbacks, and this goes back to my days with Colorado State University, Garrett Grayson. Now, Garrett Grayson for a time, and he's with the New Orleans Saints right now. Garrett Grayson was known in the early days of his college career as having a little jittery feet, you know, little kind of dancy feet. Instead of being stable, secure, and confident, whatever that looked like for Garrett, it looked like he was a little bit jittery, especially under defensive pressure. So he had less of a tendency to make something happen with his footwork, which means to do that, as quarterback coaches say to me, you have to be aware. You have to be under control emotionally. So here's what we did with Garrett. When he would do a three-step drop back, or any drop back, even if it was in the shotgun, we would, once the snap comes to him, closes his eyes. Because on the, what's called on-air routes, he knows what the route is. He knows it's a, you know, 10, 11, 12, and out, or he knows it's a skinny post, or he knows it's whatever the pattern is. And he's been throwing it so many times, he knows exactly where on the field that ball's going to go. But that doesn't mean he's confident. That doesn't mean he's self-assured about his body-mind connection to reproduce those actions when that sense is taken away. So I would take the vision away. Close your eyes. Drop back. You're ready to pass. Close your eyes and throw the ball. Can you imagine what his first response was to me? I can't do that. I'm going to look foolish. I'm going to look foolish. Totally understand that. But once I got him into feeling comfortable and confident about himself and taking responsibility for that performance outcome and mentally conditioned himself through that practice, the skills fell in place and his mindset changed to a swagger. That swagger, it's all about me. I can get this done. So when he threw the pattern for the first time and the kid caught it right in his gut, he goes, you know what? My body knows what it's doing without me having to see it every time. So that was a way for him to get more confident feet. And as he went on in his career at CSU, I think he saw, he did. His performance results got higher. He got better at what he did. And I hope that I had a little bit of part in helping him get to that place of confidence and that his performance results fit his mindset and matched up to allow his skills to accentuate and go beyond where his possibilities were, so that he knew precisely what kind of mental conditioning drills does he have to go through to make things happen, to make it routine, then ask the right questions when he's in his position meeting with his quarterback coach. Now, can you imagine that? If you're that confident, you got that swagger on, the questions you ask of your coach are not just about status quo. They become questions about how can I make it better? I'm so confident about it. I understand it so well. How can I make it better? Well, that's where you want to get. That's what our show is all about. 360mindset.com. KUHSDenver.com is our website, at 360 Mindset Performance Talk at KUHSDenver.com. We're getting close to the end of our show today. We've got a few minutes left before we close out. And as we do that, I want to make a couple of notes and say some thank yous to some people. I want to make sure that you all know that if you go to my website at 360mindset.com, sign up for a consultation, you know, and let's talk a little bit about any of the performance issues you have facing in your life. Look at my RMP16 personal evaluation for assessing human desire and creating that swagger, giving yourself numerical examples of whether or not you are part of that five categories of athlete profiling that are the top five for the elite performers. So take a look at our website and sign up. I want to thank yesterday, again, Jackie Dietrich at the Commons. That was awesome for them to do that training on entrepreneurs, thecommons.co. That is their website. And also Nick at the Center for Awesomeness. The Center for Awesomeness. So I also want to thank, as always, my compatriot, Henry Archuleta, because there are days when I think, Henry, you got to breathe, man. You got to take a breath. Feel good about yourself and breathe. Man, this is Lowell Whiteman. I'm so glad I'm here. It's a blessed day in Colorado. 360mindset.com, performance talk on KUHSDenver.com. Closing the show out. Have a great day today. Find some way to challenge yourself to be better. And breathe.
Just like the boat out on the water, the wind will blow you back to me. And no matter what I'm doing, you can always count on me. And I will always set you free. You can breathe. You can breathe. Another rainbow falls. Another broken dream. Another teardrop crashes down. And it lands on me. Just like a boat out on the water, the wind will blow you back to me. And no matter what I'm doing, you can you.